MG, we're heading into round six this weekend, and I mean, the pressure that the various coaches are under, it's sometimes people forget just how hard it is to actually win a comp as a coach.
Oh, it's a hard job being a coach, mate. Like, I was reading something this morning on John Morris, how he found out leaving the SCG after the loss on Saturday, and his wife rang him in tears, saying that they're talking about you being axed. It's a hard job.
It's
and
very
our
hard
next
job.
Guest knows all about that.
Yeah, and he knows exactly what it takes to win a comp. Cronulla Premiership coach Shane Flanagan joined us. G'day, Shane.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Mate, we're fantastic, Flanagan. Look, we thought we'd have a chat to you because you seem to be the man on the peripheral at the minute. You know, you coached the Sharkies, you were assistant coach at the Dragons, you've got your young bloke playing first grade, you're doing some stuff for Fox Sports, you're the man of the minute. And we just kind of wanted to have a chat to you about what your thoughts are on all these clubs and how they're going at the moment. In particular, Johnny Morris. Let's start with him.
Yeah, well, it's for me, it's a bit disappointing. Like, if you look at his coaching, the Sharks aren't going that bad. You know, they played okay in the first half against the Roosters and got run down in the second half. But, you know, that coach could hardly be blamed for that performance. You know, the players probably need to have a good look at themselves. And, you know, he's got the team in the eight the last 2 years prior to that. And, you know, for me, being, you know, a Sharks fan and I live in the area, and I think he's done a reasonable job, you know. Yeah, they haven't been a top four, and I know the club, that's what they pride themselves on. But, you know, there's been some difficult circumstances and some good players out of form or injured over that period. And, you know, you just got to, sometimes you need a little bit of luck. And, you know, to be honest, I feel really, I feel a bit sorry for Johnny Morris because, you know, the club hasn't really told us why they're getting rid of him. You know, they trotted out an excuse that they want to be a top four club and John can't attract the players to the club that they need to. I don't cop that. So you know, I want to know why they're going to get rid of him.
Flano, we spoke just on the top of this about you being in the furnace as a coach. You won a comp. Now you're looking from the outside looking in. Look, on this show for the last 3 weeks, I've been demanding that Sharks give John Morris an extension. I don't know how much better he can do with the roster he's got at the minute. He's got him to the eight the last 2 years. He's got him playing in a with spirit this year with his hands basically tied behind his back. What do you think if Craig Fitzgibbon seems to be the man next in line? What are your thoughts on Craig Fitzgibbon being the coach of the Sharkies?
I've got no problems with that. And, you know, I think sometimes a change is needed, but I still can't get my head around why they're getting rid of John Morris, to be honest, mate. You know, I know a lot of people say his hands have been tied behind his back. He's got a fair football team, and, yeah, maybe they haven't, won semi-finals, but you know, for me, I keep going back to that point that, you know, why are they getting rid of him? I just don't understand. And if they are going in with Craig Fitzgibbon, or they're going in with another coach that you know, he's been around a bit and he understands what needs to be done in at our role level, but he hasn't been a first grade coach. So once you get into that seat, definitely everything changes, and you need to get results straight away. And if the Sharks are saying they want to be a top four side and attract, you know, players to the club, well, he's going to be put under the spotlight straight away. So, you know, good luck to him. He's had a great career. He's been really loyal to the Roosters, but he's coming into a different kettle of fish down there at the Sharks.
Shane, can you pull back the curtain a little bit on that as a former coach and no doubt a future one as well? That process of being the senior coach and attracting players to the club, because it seems all nice in theory, and no doubt Wayne Bennett and Craig Bellamy and Trent Robinson and these guys have pulling power, but what's it like for your standard coach in trying to woo a player?
Yeah, I never really had any problem attracting players to the Sharks. You know, we went after a few players and we got a lot of them. You know, sometimes you might have to pay a little bit more than you expect, but, you know, and that's really not the coach's job. But, you know, the Sharks have always had, you know, the ability, you know, similar to, you know, a great place to live and bring up your kids. And if you're a top four side, players want to come to your club. So no matter who the coach is, you know, I feel that if a player feels that he's going to go there and he's going to play semi-finals and he's a chance to win the competition, the elite players will come. And I don't understand where the Sharks have been. You know, they've been a semi-final side since, you know, last 7 or 8 years. So, you know, attracting players hasn't been a problem. But, you know, obviously the Craig Bellamy's of the world are going to attract players. But, you know, the Sharks, I don't see it being a real problem for them to attract players at the moment. You know, using that as a bit as an excuse, I think.
Flano, what is your current status re-coaching? We heard earlier in the year that you might have contacted the NRL to see what is the go, what your status is.
Everything's good, MG. I spoke with Peter Valandis, and if a job becomes available, I just go and tell the NRL, and everything should be okay this year if that job was to come available this year. But, you know, as I said, I'm really enjoying what I'm doing now in the media and with Fox and so on. So that's really enjoyable. But, you know, I want to get back into coaching, but I need to make sure also that it's the right place and right fit for me. And, you know, I'm sure that'll come, you know, whenever in the near future. And at the moment, enjoying the media, watching Kyle play. You know, he's been going through a tough period, but it's going to be a period that he learns a lot.
Bloody oath.
Sometimes you find out a little bit more about yourself when you're getting kicked and is it down the bottom. So something that he hasn't been used to, because he's always come through sides that have won competitions and then, you know, went to the Roosters and so on. So something new for him, and he's learned a little bit. But, yeah, mate, I want to get back into it, but I just need to wait for that right opportunity to come up.
Well, MG, sounds a bit like our old mate Nathan Brown 12 months ago. Sounds, I can see a lot of similarities there.
If you've got the bug, you've got the bug. if it's in you, it's in you, and you're born. I think you're born with it, honestly, because you wouldn't choose that type of work.
Hey, Shane, let's talk about your young fella, because you brought him up there. You summed it up beautifully. They're going through a rough trot at the moment. How much interaction do you have with him? I guess, do you ever put your coach's hat on with him with how they're going at the moment, or are you strictly dad mode when you're talking to Kyle?
No, I do a little bit of both, but I try not to. I mean, I just ask him how things are going. You know, he obviously still lives at home, and we've got a really good relationship, and you know, I make sure that I understand the pressures of a halfback of an NRL side are immense, and, you know, if you don't win, a lot of the time that finger gets pointed at the halfback. So, you know, making sure that, you know, he's mentally okay and he's mentally prepared and he's training hard all the time. And, you know, the results aren't a real reflection of what he's doing, that he needs to continue just to work really hard and compete really hard and all the things that got him into the NRL that he needs to keep doing. So the Bulldogs are going to turn it around, but it's, you know, probably not going to be this year. They're going to have some good players come to them next year and they'll be better again. But, you know, I'd like to see him win a few games this year and take the pressure off everyone, but they need to continue to work hard. And you know, I just make sure that I try and support him and put the coach's hat on every now and again. I get a bit of a sense when he wants to have a chat about football from a coaching perspective rather than just a dad chat. So that's a balance.
Dad chat, I like that. Hey, the other one, of course, I mean, the Dragons, 4-1, absolutely flying, only 5 rounds into the competition. Did you see this sort of transformation on the cards when you were involved with the club last year?
No, I didn't. But that's a classic. I'm glad you asked me about that one, because that's a classic example how a coach leaves the club in the right way. Like Mary probably knew his cards were marked last year, but the club come to an agreement. Mary coached for another week, and it was a game against Parramatta at Parramatta Stadium, and they won a similar game. They won that game for Mary, and he left on a high. And then, you know, Dean Young took over for the rest of the year. But I thought it was done in the correct manner from, you know, Paul handled it really well and the club handled it really well. You know, he needed to change, and Paul knew that and the club knew that. In the end, Anthony Griffin comes in, and, you know, sometimes a change is, you know, better than a holiday. And, you know, I knew that with my time at the Sharks. You know, I went out not the way I wanted to, but I was thinking about, you know, maybe it's time for me to have a spell with these boys, because I've coached them for, you know, the Wade Grahams, and then for 6 or 7 years, are they starting to get sick of me? I was asking that question of myself. So, you know, sometimes a new voice and a new approach just gives everyone a fresh lease of life. And I think that's happened down the Dragons. Talking to a lot of the players down there, it's just different. So that's given them a spring, a different attitude. Then it's not saying that Mary's way was wrong, but Anthony's been different, and it's worked for him.
You say the change is as good as a holiday, only if you stay at the Star of the Sea, but that's, you know, terrible. That's, you know, that's the only holiday we want to be at, isn't it?
What about Warriors home now?
Yeah, well, they're off home soon, so we can get back there in our penthouse, Flano. Thank God.
Hold on. I've got to stop here because producer Charlie, when he called Shane to see if we could have a chat with us today,
yes,
Shane said, tell MG to go easy or I'll start telling stories. Now Shane, I think we've been relatively easy, but I still want you to start telling stories. What are we talking? Off-field
Come
stuff?
On,
on-field stuff?
Oh, there's a little bit of both, but I remember once at Campbelltown, heading for flying, and MG was in one of those moods. His eyes were rolling around like a and he got sent off. And it was either just before halftime or just before full time. And I could hear this banging and things like crashing down. I was going, what's going on? I don't think there was a locker left on the wall. Pulled everyone off.
Rebuttal, Mark?
And that's the game I got hit over the head with an umbrella, too.
That's
one
right.
One of the Magpies.
Oh, outstanding work.
Great times. I'm loving your work on Fox, mate. Keep it up. And I'd rather be seeing you in a coach's seat because I think you've got so much to offer as a coach. But as always, we thank you so much for your time, brother.
Thanks, boys. Been a pleasure.